Text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 97, verse 2. I'll read the entire psalm. Psalm 97. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. The fire goeth before him, burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced, because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, be righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 97, the exalted majesty and glory of God is a cause for joy. We are weak and frail creatures. The Lord knows our frame. The last several weeks have seen plenty of tumult throughout the world. And we do not know what the Lord will bring this week. But we do know, and we can know, that God speaks in all the events of the world. God speaks through the storm clouds. He speaks in the events of each day and all the events in the world. We do not read anything about that in the media reports each day. God speaks through the wars and carnage in the world. God speaks through the unrest in the world and in our land. God speaks in all that he brings to pass in his all-wise and almighty providence, and in his works of judgment and his works of salvation. But above all, the Lord speaks through his word. In Psalm 97, the Lord gives us a key to understand the world in which we live, and to understand in a measure what he is doing. In Psalm 97, verse 2, the Lord describes his presence in the life of the nations. In Psalm 97, the Lord proclaims that the Lord Jesus Christ is come, and all power has been given to him in heaven and on earth. The Lord says in verse 2, clouds and darkness surround the Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. First of all, we see that Christ's presence in the life of the nations is mysterious. Clouds and darkness surround the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible speaks often about the sun, the moon, and the stars, about light. But the Bible also speaks often about clouds and darkness. Think of the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. What do we read there? We read that God created both the light and the darkness. First the darkness, and second the light. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. God also created the clouds. First there was water, and from the water God called up the clouds as he does today. Clouds and darkness are there both through God. Sometimes clouds and darkness are separated. Then the clouds are light clouds. Sometimes clouds and darkness are joined together. And then the clouds are dark, black. Sometimes they bring a gentle rain, which goes right down to the root of vegetation, and farmers are glad, especially after a period of serious drought. But it also happens that those clouds come to us in the thickest darkness that we have seen, it seems. And then they threaten us. And heavy weather comes our way. As we think of this, we begin to understand why the prophets in the scriptures mention dark clouds as symbols of disaster. Threatening disaster. For example, the Lord gave the prophet Joel a dark view of the future of the nations. He saw a current of wretchedness break out over the nations, including the nation of Israel. Think of the language that the prophet Joel used in Joel chapter 2, verse 2. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Think of the prophet Zephaniah, who says almost the same thing verbatim. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, we read these words. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Think of the book of Ecclesiastes, where the preacher speaks those familiar words in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 2, describing youth compared to old age. Unlike old age, in one's youth, the clouds do not return after the sun. In Scripture, clouds and darkness, dark clouds, are a picture of disaster, of destruction, of death. In the time that we are living with such global economic difficulties, and many natural disasters in numerous areas of the world, many people worry about the future. They wonder, what era are we living in? What if things only get worse? Many people in our land, in the store and in other places, grumble and complain. They're so bitter. they need to be cautious about complaining. If you ever say things such as, "What a nasty rain," "What terrible weather," remember that God sends the weather. Do not complain about the weather which God sends. It is not innocent to complain, unless you complain to God about your own sinful heart and thoughts and words and actions. Clouds and darkness are not empty. That is, they're not devoid of meaning and sense. In our text, the Lord says, clouds and darkness contain a secret. What is it? It is that the Lord is in the clouds and the darkness. He is in them. He hides himself in them. Clouds and darkness are round about the Lord. The Lord himself is the deep meaning or the sense, the content, even of the decline and the disaster and the judgment that is coming upon us. Let us never forget that, especially not in difficult days. There are other angles to it. Man is an angle. Man is a responsible creature and is liable for so much that is happening in our day. The Bible often speaks of the enemy of God, the devil, Satan, the adversary, sometimes called in the Bible the prince of the power of the air. The answer to question 127 in the Heidelberg Catechism says that our deadly enemy, the devil, does not cease to assail us. And here in our text, Psalm 97, verse 2, the Lord says, clouds and darkness surround the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I am preaching something that does not make sense to many people. The teaching of Holy Scripture that the Lord God Almighty comes down to us in a devastating storm and takes the roof off your house, or takes your whole house down and it is gone, or comes with grief into our lives, or brings distress into our lives, does not make sense to people. They say, no, that is not God. It is Mother Nature. If there is a God, he must be nice. God is kind. God is light and life. How could God be present in those clouds and darkness, in trials and in troubles, in destruction and in death? Many people have an unbiblical or wrong, sinful concept of God. It is true that the Bible says God is light and God is love. God is pure light, but he can, and he does, at times, clothe himself with clouds and darkness. When God comes, there can be thunder and lightning. That is what we read in Exodus chapter 19. When the Lord God came down upon Mount Sinai, we read in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. The people were filled with fear and distress when God spoke to them. We read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. We read in Psalm 104, verse 3, the Lord makes the clouds his chariot. Many people have experienced that in life. There have been people of God, and there are people of God today who adore God, who is love, and contrary to what they ever thought God would do to them, they experience that he came to them with trouble and with trial and with darkness, and they struggled through it. They said, "How could God do this? How could he permit this to happen?" They had forgotten for a moment, or perhaps for a long time, the words of our text: clouds and darkness surround him. Let those words in Psalm 97 speak to you and to me on this very Lord's Day. If you come to understand a measure of these words can keep you from an unwarranted disappointment or an unwarranted optimism. These words, "clouds and darkness surround him," can be of comfort to a person in the time of trial and of trouble, because you have to be on your guard for at least one thing. You must realize that those clouds, the darkness, is not the Lord God himself. They are his garment. They are the casing, if you will, in which he hides himself. God himself is not clouds. He is light, pure light, the fountain of life and salvation. But the God of salvation can conceal himself in the dark clouds of disaster and grief. Oh, how frightening the times can be when the Lord clothes himself in darkness and clouds. Nevertheless, he is in it. He is hidden in it, and he comes down in it to us. He, the Lord, the God of the covenant, who desires to live in peace with men, who seeks communion with us in the grief in life, in the darkness in life, he is present in a hidden way. We read from Job chapter 23 this evening. And there in Job chapter 23, I remind you of these words in verses 8 through 12. "Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." There you have it. That is the proclamation of our text in Psalm 97, verse 2. You could say, if you understand it properly, God is never closer to us than in difficult days. Remember that in the days in which we are living, and also in the events of the recent past, the difficult events, the tragedies of the past weeks were not a freak of time or of place or of politics. The tragedies were not just something that came by happenstance or chance. And neither should we speak merely of things as the effects of climate change. The cause of storm or tragedy is not so much what we men do as much as what we are, sinners who have departed from the living God. If that were not true, there would not be a storm or a tragedy. The prophet Isaiah understood this. He prophesied in the day of great difficulty for Israel, a dark day. Isaiah lived before the exile of God's people in Babylon. He had to announce the exile. What a task that was. You will go into exile in Babylon. You, God's people. And yet precisely in those dark days, he spoke the words of Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In the darkness, the Lord is near. In the storm, in the tragedies that take place, the Lord is near, calling, beckoning. Do you hear him? Do you see him? Oh, for that you need ears and eyes of faith, opened by grace through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever disaster there is in this life, there is still eager expectation. There is still sure hope for those who seek him while he may be found. And that takes us to the second point this evening. Christ's presence in the life of the nations is a threatening presence to the wicked. Our text in Psalm 97, verse 2, at its deepest, is a prophecy of what God will do in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom God reigns over all things. That is how Psalm 97 begins in verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Verse 2 is a prophecy of what the Lord will do in his Son, through whom he will manifest his great reign over all the nations and all of the earth. Our text speaks of something that is ongoing. From the time of Christ's cross and resurrection and ascension right up to his final return to this earth. This has many implications for God's people in the Old Testament and for their hope. But the way Hebrews 4 quotes Psalm 95, a very similar psalm, can help us understand these thoughts. But then after that comes the difference. When we view it on the outside, all is the same. But the person who has the eyes of faith given by grace, who has prophetic eyes, you might say, he begins to see through things. And he discovers something that not everyone else sees. What does he discover? He discovers that the darkness is judgment for the wicked. Who are the wicked? They are the people who do not know God, who do not acknowledge God, who do not fear God. They are the people who ignore God. And they look for happiness in themselves and in their idols. They are the people who do not know their sin. And they do not know their guilt before a holy God. They do not know what it is to humble themselves before the Lord. They do not set God before their eyes, the Bible says. They do not reckon with the Lord God. Neither do they know of a turning from wickedness to God. and they do not learn to walk with God. The wicked are also the people who throw obstacles before those who do fear the Lord. So the wicked at times manifest themselves as enemies of God and of his people. What do those clouds, those trials, those difficulties, what does that darkness mean for the wicked? The second part of Psalm 97, verse 2, brings that out when it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Righteousness. What is righteousness? It is the attribute of God that speaks of the equity, of the rightness with which God speaks and acts. The other word in the second part of our text, the word justice or judgment, refers to the actions that come forth from his righteousness. So the Lord says this, as it were. Even though there are these clouds surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we do not see exactly what he is doing, we can know that what he is doing will be right and just. And the wicked? Oh, for them, this must be a frightening message. Clouds for the wicked are a prelude of the great and final judgment that one day shall come on the wicked and wipe them off the earth. For the wicked shall not always inhabit the earth. Their troubles are only a prelude to the frightening terror that shall come for the wicked. One day, the wicked shall perish. They shall be no more. This ought to lead you and me to examine ourselves, because the wicked are not only outside the church, but also inside the church. You can be in church, you can be dressed up like I am with a jacket, a nice shirt, and a tie, or a lovely dress, or a coat, and we can all look very appropriate for meeting with the Lord on the Lord's Day. But if in our heart we are living apart from God, and the clouds come into our life, what do they mean? What does it mean if we are in church, but we are not born from above? We are still the way we were born in our natural birth, without God and without hope in the world. And we too shall perish forever unless we do what the Lord commands through Isaiah: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When you look at that passage in Isaiah, together with Psalm 97, you see such a compelling reason for evangelism outreach, the spread of the gospel. What a reason when we speak with others, though we have to be careful, to point out to our fellow workers, to our neighbors, their sins, their wickedness, and the folly of their idolatry. And if they say to you, oh, look at yourself, then you and I do stand to be corrected. Because they may see things in our lives of which we must say, you are right. I must turn from that. That is not pleasing the eyes of God either. But you must turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ too. Clouds are threatening, but while he may be found. Those threatenings are not yet the actual final judgment of the living God that he will mete out in the day of judgment. That knowledge gave a man like the Apostle Paul urgency to preach Christ among Jews and Gentiles. The same was true of the Apostle Peter. Think of his sermon on the day of Pentecost. So today, the events that are taking place in our lives and in our land, and the global events that cast shadows over the whole world, should give force to the gospel call. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You say, ah, how can I know that he will pardon me? Ah, dear congregation, there's one who left the throne of heaven, who took to himself our human flesh and blood from the Virgin Mary, and he experienced the clouds and the darkness that surround God like no one else ever has or ever will. And God was there inside those clouds and inside that darkness, that judgment. And he demanded from his only begotten Son full satisfaction for the sins of others. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced in his own body, in his own soul, on the tree of the cross at Calvary, that foundation of God's throne, for all given to him by his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ hung there on that cursed wooden tree in deep darkness. What did Christ suffer there? He bore what? The final judgment for his people, as the surety for wicked ones, so that whoever falls down before the Lord God while confessing his sin, confessing his guilt, and acknowledges that the Lord God is just in his judgment, but looks to Jesus Christ in the darkness that came upon him, and looking to Christ, pleads with God for mercy, shall find not only mercy, but also righteousness and justice in Christ. He finds in God what? The rock of salvation. A fortress in troublous times. He even finds more than that. He finds for all time and eternity a full and complete and free salvation, where the righteousness is the foundation of the throne of God. And that guarantees that God cannot and God will not twice demand payment at my surety's hand and also mine. That is the gospel in our text this evening. And third, we see that Christ's presence in the life of the nations is a sanctifying or refining presence to the people of God. What do those clouds and darkness mean in the life of the righteous? In the life of those who turn to God from sin, believing in Christ? Indeed, they find, as Isaiah says in chapter 49, verse 9, that they can still be walking in darkness and have no light. It does happen. When trouble comes into the lives of God's people, the remarkable thing is that they, before anyone else, are thinking and wondering, is this God's judgment? Is this now God's punishment for my sin, for my iniquity? People asked the Reverend Philip Henry, the father of Matthew Henry, how are we to glorify God in our affliction? This is what Philip Henry said. Own and acknowledge sin to be the cause and give glory to God. Own him as the author of your sufferings. Acknowledge the mercies left with all thankfulness. See what has been amiss, and when you have found it, turn again unto the Lord. Glorify him by patience and quietness and cheerful submission unto his will. Ply the throne of grace. Believe and wait for a good issue. Hold fast your integrity. Philip Henry was ejected from his own pulpit because he would not abide by the law as of England in his day, which insisted that preachers submit to the crown. They ejected him from his pulpit, and they persecuted him. He was in jail at times. He was not allowed to come within 5 miles of his own home. And then they emptied his whole house. They took away from him everything that was there on his little piece of property. Later, when a judge went through those historical data, he called Mr. Philip Henry to his bench, and he acknowledged that that should not have been done. And he asked Philip Henry, what can we do to make restitution? The Reverend Philip Henry said, nothing, Your Honor, nothing. The Lord has been good. It taught me lessons that I would not have learned any other way. Someone who is very ill wrote to a friend, you and I are taught to say, it is the Lord. On his will must we wait. And to it we must submit in everything, not upon constraint, but of choice. Not only because he is the potter and we are the clay, and therefore in a way of sovereignty he may do what he pleases with us, but because he is our Father and will do nothing but what shall be good to us. Be strong, therefore, in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. It is given for such a time of need as this. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, or do you say no? In the lives of God's people, in the clouds, in the darkness, can be very heavy. The darkness can be heavy. The darkness can bring great heaviness, great darkness. But God's people know, though they search their souls, it is not the judgment of wrath by which the Lord sent these things. It is not the judgment of wrath that will bring them to perdition. In Psalm 97, verse 10, the Lord says, he preserves the souls of his saints in the darkness, in the clouds. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Whatever happens this week or any time in the future, remember these words. He preserves the souls of his saints. We all need to remember this. Every single one of us. It may grow even darker in the West than it has ever been before without a spiritual awakening of the people of God rising from the slumber of their sleep or of death. It only will grow worse. No matter what happens and no matter what does not happen this week or this year, nevertheless, he preserves the souls of his saints. Moreover, the Lord goes on to say in Psalm 97, verse 11, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. That is why the Lord exhorts us in verse 10, you who love the Lord, hate evil. In other words, you and I should have only one care. What is it? It is this. O Lord, preserve my soul in order that in this darkness I shall not wander from you, from your pathway, but learn to fear you with deeper reverence. That is God's way, brothers and sisters, of refining and sanctifying his people. What are some ways that we should apply this passage in our lives? Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, clouds and darkness surround the Lord Jesus Christ. He's clothed in them. There are many things in this world that you and I will never understand. But remember this. Where the clouds are, where the darkness comes, there the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of the universe, the savior of sinners, is in the midst of them. What a frightening message that is for the wicked. But it is a message. Seek him while he may be found. What a message this is for the righteous. To both the wicked and the righteous, the God of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he is seriously warning any unconverted in our midst, do not think that you can go on and perhaps down the road turn to the Lord. But first, I still want to do this. That is my agenda. I know I should not, but I'm going to do it. Do not do it. You have been warned. Christ's throne is a throne of justice. No one can escape his punishment. Repent then and seek the Lord Jesus while he may be found. And for you, dear believers, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. His gracious presence, his mysterious presence, refines and sanctifies his people. One day, there will be no more clouds for you, for me. There'll be no more darkness when the wicked shall perish at the hand of this great and glorious God in whom there is no darkness at all. And then for the righteous, all shall be light, no more clouds. Then the righteous shall be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the throne, standing on the righteousness of Christ alone, forever and ever. Amen.